It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Cut Forecast. This is Gemma Kaneko. If you are a regular Cut Forecast listener, you may remember that last week I fired Dakota from the podcast so that he and Jake Mintz of Cespedes Family Barbecue can go start the Dude Cave or whatever unlistenable, like, sad dudes in a basement talk about weird things. And he's been replaced by the other half of Cespedes Family Barbecue, Jordan Schusterman.
Oh, Gemma, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. AKA, the real, just to remind people, the real crux of the argument there was whether batting around is 9 batters in an inning or 10. We are team 10.
Yeah, we are team 10. I feel really good that we are now a Cut Forecast that truly fundamentally believes that.
And are we? Do we know where our third member of this podcast?
We're going to find out right now.
Yeah, let's find out.
Let's welcome Michael Clare, our senior LA correspondent. Clare, team 9 or team 10?
18. It's not worth it unless they go around twice.
That's good.
You know what? That's sufficiently weird enough that I think we'll accept you.
Absolutely.
Michael Clare just got married.
Oh, congratulations, Mr. Clare.
So congrats to you.
Well, thank you very much. To celebrate, we went and watched your baseball game last night. So, you know, things are good.
You had some baseball at your wedding, of course, because what would it be without baseball at the wedding? How's married life?
You know, it's take my wife, please, and then bring her back because I love her so much.
That was very sweet. I was about to kick you off the podcast for that joke, but I'll let you stay.
It's very weird. Like, I look at my hand with a wedding ring on it. I go, well, there's an old man. Why would I listen to him? And I'm like, that's my hand. And now blogging's weird because it's kind of like swinging with a batting donut, but all day long.
That is an incredible analogy, my friend. Wow. So, yeah, it's just a lot of looking down and being like, oh, is that me?
So if you take it off, are you just going to, like, type way too hard?
I think that's going to be it. I'm going to take it off and just, like, smash the laptop.
Well, we know any future spelling errors on Michael Clare Cut 4 posts.
That's
we understand it.
Yeah, that's right. He spells his own name wrong, which has happened.
Which has happened.
Listeners. That's the reason.
Do you still lose 200 points on your SATs if you do that? That was always, like, the rumor.
Oh,
like,
yes. The SAT. Speaking as someone who most recently took
SAT. Oh, yeah, I guess it would be you, yeah.
I will say that the first thing I say is yes. Like, you're spelling your name right is the first 200 points. So you would have struggled. That would have been quite the handicap.
So stressful. Yeah. Well, we're going to leave all the talk of SATs and standardized tests behind. Clare got married this weekend, but also this weekend, well, not really this weekend, but if you were lucky enough to have a few days off, it was the 4th of July weekend. And since it was America's birthday, we all spent a lot of time with America's pastime, baseball. And the league celebrated with a lot of special uniforms. Players were wearing weird things or exciting things. What did you guys notice? What was the most fun thing that you saw on the field over the weekend?
Clare, you go first. I'm not sure how focused you were, seeing as you were doing other important life things. But what did you see?
I know that you love uniforms.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So yeah, that's the thing. I was from time to time glancing at my phone. In fact, during the rehearsal, I pulled my phone out and I was yelled at, like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I got an alert from something." So I didn't get to. Unfortunately, this weekend I didn't get to watch too much baseball. But the uniforms I saw, every year we've got special uniforms, but I think this year was the very best. Part of it is the stamped socks, where you've got the one star sock and the one striped socks. You've got, you know, Where's Waldo meets my ideal version of George Washington. And then you've got the numbers, the actual numbers are like stars and everything. So it looks like they took some inspiration from David Ross being on Dancing with the Stars, because these outfits looked ready. Toss it on a stage and have a dance number, because they look ready for, like, some high art and not just like, oh, we used a filter and just, like, content-aware filled with a Betsy Ross flag.
No, yes. I think it did kind of look like they were going to do a formation where they would all stand so that they would then make the flag with their feet.
Right,
yes,
right. It did
never happen.
It did feel like they could have choreographed something pretty special.
Yes.
But I definitely agree about the socks. I think the socks were outstanding. It was a little weird with some of the colors, with some of the different color schemes that we saw. But I think the socks were definitely the standout. And the I guess the stars in the jerseys, which was cool too. And of course, it really just depends on the color scheme of the team. That's the other issue when they have like the Mother's Day, the Father's Day jerseys, mm-hmm. is sometimes all the teams look like they're wearing the same jerseys.
Yeah, it's
which can be
confusing.
A little disorienting when guys are on base, especially. Mm-hmm. So that can be a little frustrating. But other than that, I thought they were pretty strong. Socks especially.
Should the Nationals always wear those socks?
That's the thing.
Is that the question?
The thing. They've had, I guess they definitely do wear the Stars and Stripes more. Mm-hmm. I think they have a Stars and Stripes version. I remember, especially growing up in the D.C. area, the early RFK Stadium Nats. They experimented with some weird stuff, as have, I think, some of the other Washington-based sports teams have tried some weird stuff. But so, yeah, you can't do it 162 games. But I thought it was a good showing this weekend.
I mean, I thought the single-striped and single-star socks were striking, but also kind of weird. Because if you looked at someone from an angle, I was like, this is a little bit Wicked Witch of the East.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Which is a totally dope fashion choice, Gemma. If anybody, I thought you'd be on board with that.
I would be on board with special. If there was, like, if, you know, everyone who played on Halloween, like, in the postseason, if you play a Halloween game, you should have to just wear witch hat when you're in the field, you know?
Yes,
that
finally.
That would be good. I would be into that kind of witch fashion, but the socks I was a little distracted by. Because Bryce Harper also did the thing where he had one striped cleat and one starred cleat.
Yeah, the completely non-matching cleats, or like the cleats that are supposed to create something, can be cool when you have the exact right angle and picture.
Yes.
But like in motion and like in other shots, it just looks very strange.
I feel like you have to go for like the full flag design on both cleats, you know? Were these 4th of July uniforms better or worse than Team USA WBC uniforms?
I like them more this year, but I think if you go back to, I don't know, what was it, like 2010, 2011, I think that was my peak USA uniform, except I would take the Stars and Stripes in the numbers more than the Team Bacon F logo.
There is. There's a very, very interesting power rankings there.
Bacon F.
But that makes sense. The last thing I would say about the Sox is that and when it comes to uniformity, I was at the Mets game, and like awesome to see Cespedes and Granderson wearing socks, and then like Jay Bruce, he's just not a guy that should be wearing high socks, and so he wasn't. But it's just
whoa, buddy, Claire body thinks, shaming on the podcast. No, I mean, come on.
I think Claire thinks everyone should wear high socks.
I want to believe that, and then I see some that
are you like a well turned calf elitist? Is this some like 17th century thing going on here?
I don't know. I don't really know where I stand because it's not even – it's nothing to do with even necessarily just like, oh, the big guys shouldn't wear high socks. I think some guys can pull it off, and it's just like some guys it's a little weird. But either way, whether they can pull it off or not, Jay Bruce, he wasn't wearing them. And so it just can be a little strange to see six guys wearing high socks and three guys not.
Right.
So that's my basic point.
I get that.
But here's the thing. In America, we have freedom of expression.
I know.
And I will fight for that right to have non-uniform uniformity.
All right. I admire the courage.
Of course.
And I am not opposed to his right to wear high or low socks. I'm just commenting on the aesthetic. Mr. Claire, thank you.
Well, Claire, I know that you also have very strong feelings about caps. And for Team USA, we've made up our own fake pillbox cap that kind of, to me, looked like a Union Soldier cap, but that's neither here nor there. How would you have changed the cap? Were the caps good? Would you have added something to them?
So the only problem that comes with the caps is the issue of, like, the team colors. Because if you are a team that wears red or blue, they look great. I mean, this year it had that sort of, like, faux heathered thing. So I know, like, if you're looking at, a Red Sox hat, you're like, oh, it's not that different, but it's got heathered and it's got some stars and stripes. So the only thing would be trying to figure out, for, like, a team like the Athletics, are we going to create a whole full narrative for a alternate reality Athletics team that, you know, where the American flag is green and gold. And I would kind of be I would be on board with that. Or are there other flags, you know, before the don't tread on me thing was you know, I don't want to get political, but before that became a political movement flag, like, those colors are very similar to the A's. So if there was a bipartisan flag like that, well, maybe we, you know, the A's get that flag. And I don't know flags very well is what I'm saying, but I think there's some fun flags out there that we can play around with. Either that or put a full replica of Mount Rushmore on the bill of every cap, and then we don't have to worry about it. Hmm.
I will say the flag idea where you just have the color American flag for the team is interesting and definitely going to end up with some just completely different countries.
Yeah.
So that's true.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen that enough on Twitter with people doing the wrong flag emojis for the wrong countries. So that would be dangerous, but potentially hilarious.
And red, white, and blue are very popular country colors. Like, I was doing this show recently, and they're like, "Oh, look, it's like America." And I looked, and I was like, "Well, this is actually France's flag." Yeah. The way that it's, but fine.
But red, white, blue.
You know what? It's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I feel like you should be in charge of designing the America uniforms next year. Claire, 4th of July uniforms.
I should definitely not be in charge of designing them, as I have people look at my drawings and go, "Oh, you have a young daughter," and I'll go, "No, that's my skill." So I think maybe I would love some sort of, you know, advisory role where I stand behind and go, "Well, no, that's not right," and then I offer nothing substantive until I figure out what it is
that I
want.
All right, well, those of you who are listening who have the power to design uniforms, if you want Claire to just stand behind you and annoy you for weeks at a time,
I would absolutely hire him. That's like the special assistant to the GM role in the front office where you're so important that it's not even clear what your actual day-to-day job is, but you're in the room for all the big decisions. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. I pitched that for Claire. All right. Before we get too into this, let's move on. The All-Star game is coming up in Miami. Jordan, you'll be there.
Yes.
Very excited for you. We're going to need a full report back because Miami is a party in the city while the heat is on, right?
We will be churning out the hashtag content. At an alarming rate, I hope.
That sounds scary, but also exciting.
Yes.
So the All-Star selections were announced on Sunday night. First things first, were either of you surprised by anyone who made it? Jordan?
Anyone who did make it. Uh-huh. I thought, right, I mean, the snub conversation is obviously the first thing you always see. But Jake and I were just looking at the rosters earlier today, and, like, so many first-time guys.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And a lot of which completely deserve it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have the young guys like Bellinger and Judge. That's obvious. But, like, you got the Corey Knebels of the world. You've got, like, Brad Hand is there. I mean, there are some pretty weird ones. In terms of guys I was surprised actually made it, I would say Jake Lamb, who I just absolutely love.
Yeah.
But you look at the final vote in the NL, it has two other awesome NL third basemen, Justin Turner and Chris Bryan, who are also probably deserving, I don't know, more or less deserving than Lamb. I was just surprised to see Lamb get the nod there, but also totally deserving. He's one of my favorite hitters.
That is my number one surprise, that Lamb came out on top of Chris Bryan, which is amazing to me. That Cubs fans that rallied so hard behind David Ross on Dancing with the Stars, like, no, Jake Lamb beat Chris Bryan.
Right. And and we got no Rizzo.
Yeah.
Right? No Rizzo.
Weird.
And maybe no Bryant.
Yeah.
I guess the final results will be soon. But so there were some. And then on the pitching side, I don't know if snubs is a different conversation. Jimmy Nelson, I felt like, kind of got. I know that's super random, but he wears number.
That's what we come to you for.
Yeah, well, he wears number 52. So since, you know, with my love for Cespedes, I have a 52 radar. You got to look out for those guys. Brad Hand, another 52, who also made it to the All-Star game. So Jimmy Nelson felt like he might have been another guy who deserved it. And DeGrom was a little weird to see not on there.
Yeah.
I love Conforto, and he definitely deserves to be there for the Mets too. But I was kind of surprised Conforto made it over DeGrom.
It is surprising. Yeah. Claire, any surprises for you?
Well, first things first, question for you guys. Jimmy Nelson pitched his first complete game earlier this year. Should that be called a complete game, or should that be called a full Nelson?
Oh, Claire.
I think it's a full Nelson.
I think that's what you got to call it.
I think you got to just create a full stat. Baseball Reference has to create a new column, just full Nelsons. And he will be the only one that has them on the whole list.
I think paging Jonah Gardner, the brother of fired Cut 4 cast host Dakota is actually in Florida visiting his family. He's not really fired from the Cut 4 cast.
He
is still probably recording Sad Dudes in a Basement with Jake right now, though. So that's probably what's happening.
I'm all in on the full Nelson stat. I'm in on him as an all-star too.
This is good.
Yeah, so other than that terrible joke that I forced in there, didn't even wait for like a natural opening. It's Justin Smoak. I mean, you look at his numbers. Mm-hmm. The numbers say, yeah, that's an all-star. But even Yonder Alonso, I have, since Yonder Alonso was drafted, like had a soft spot in my heart for him. I never thought he would have the first half that he's had, but I was always like, he's great. We'll just see it one day. Justin Smoak at this point, I think I and I guess maybe everybody else outside of Toronto, you know, gave up on those top prospect hopes. But now he's got a .586 slugging percentage with 22 home runs. I mean, yes, everybody has 22 home runs this year, but this is he's playing like an amazing first baseman, and he deserves to be there. And I am just shocked at what I look at when I pull up his stat line.
I completely agree. And as a Mariners fan, like, I mean, watching him in Seattle was just like, he was so representative of, I mean, they had a lot of misses for sure in the draft. And obviously they acquired him from Texas, but Smoak was a guy that it just never really seemed like it was going to work. And he's still switch hitting. He was a guy that almost gave up hitting right-handed and still most of his power is from the left side, but he's hitting like over .300 from the right side this year. And it was cool when he went to Toronto, and this is still when they had Edwin, but it was like, all right, well, he has absolutely no pressure at all to perform in this lineup. Like, he's going to hit 7th or 8th, and he's going to get a decent number of at-bats, and hopefully he figures it out and is, like, a decent bench bat. And now it's like, oh, this is the Justin Smoak we thought we were going to see 7 years ago. So, yeah, I'm super happy for him, too. And it will be – although I will say, when I see him in Miami, it's going to be a little like, wow, this is really happening. But I'm happy for him, obviously.
What I love, too, is that, you know, I am someone who loves variety, and so the spike in home runs and strikeouts, I'm someone who's like, why don't we have more bunt singles? So Justin Smoak's success isn't just when he hits the ball, he's hitting it harder. And basically the same amount of plate appearances last year, he's cut his strikeouts in half. Mm-hmm. And obviously you can't jack your batting average up by 80 points without cutting down on strikeouts. But this isn't like he's just getting lucky. This is the way he's performing is totally different than what we would see in the past, and it's reflected completely in the stat line. And so I'm enthralled. I'm so happy. Baseball can be weird. I'm turning 30 in like 26 days. It means at 30 years old, my life isn't over yet.
Oh, I see where this is going. Okay. I thought this was going to be more about how you're completing your transition into an old man who hates home runs and strikeouts and only wants bunt singles. Right.
Well, I still want – no, what I said is I like variety. I want bunt singles and I want home runs, and then I want strikeouts, and I want, you know, lazy pop flies. I just want everything. I want everything, and I deserve to have it all.
You should have it all, Claire. You should.
You do deserve it all.
Speaking of home runs, hopefully you can warm your heart to them a little bit because the Home Run Derby is coming up. Very exciting. The field is announced for the AL. We have Mike Moustakas, Miguel Sano, Gary Sanchez, and, of course, Aaron Judge. In the NL, we have Cody Bellinger, Charlie Blackman, Justin Bour, and, of course, Giancarlo Stanton. And I feel like I'm going to be so disappointed if it doesn't come down to Stanton and Judge.
Yeah. So the weird thing about this, just looking at it now, and I guess the actual bracket is not determined yet because that's based on home runs in the first half.
Right.
So Judge is going to be the one seed.
He's got to be the top seed. He has 29th home run today. This is Wednesday.
And he's three or four ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is that if it's seeded, he'll be the first seed. The 8th seed will be his teammate, Gary Sanchez, who has been – he's pretty far behind. But
right.
I love that he's there too. It's also going to be a little frustrating because Stanton right now I think would be the 4th seed going up against Sano. Mm. Sano is the one, and I was going to mention him just talking about All-Stars in general. I love Sano so much because, I mean, Smoak maybe took 7 years or 10 years to become what we wanted him to be. Sano is exactly what he was supposed to be.
Yes.
And it is so satisfying and so much fun to watch. Like, he's striking out a ridiculous amount, but he's hitting the ball harder and farther than almost anybody else in baseball. He's a fantastic personality, and he's exactly what we wanted. And it's happened almost instantly. So he's a guy, I mean, all 8 of these guys are super fun to root for.
Yeah.
And if Justin Bour wins it, it'll just be a lot of people being like, who's Justin Bour? And it'll be great.
Justin Bour, cool.
Yeah. It's cool that he's obviously in Miami at home park, but he's underrated. He's a dark horse too.
Justin Bour winning, I think, would be like the ideal outcome for me because we have this weird obsession with Justin Bour at Cut Four, the Man Mountain, Justin Bour. Yes. Mike, do you have any feelings about this? Do you have? I mean, as much as you are kind of cold on home runs now, who do you want to win? Who are you rooting for?
You want them to bunt?
Yeah. Should it be a bunt derby?
Well, that sounds dope as hell. So, yeah. I don't not like home. Listen, I love the home run derby. And I love what the home run derby's become. And I love that we take the 8 strongest adult sons and we put them up against each other. I just don't want all 750 players in Major Leagues being adult sons hitting home runs.
I get that.
But so here's my feeling on this one. I do think Justin Bour's going to win it.
Oh.
Yeah, because I think he's going to put D. Gordon's jersey back on, and his muscles are going to just, like, be bursting that it's just, like, his swing's going to be so compact he won't be able to, like, fully extend his arms.
Do I need to warn people to, like, not listen to this at work? How weird are you going to get about Justin Bour's
I'm just
muscles?
Saying, on the lat, it'll be, like, tied, and he'll have, like, that golden ball in the last round. It's, like, the last week you can have it tied. He swings, and his, like, muscles just, like, tear through the clothes like he's Hulk Hogan as it sails over the fence and, like, into the home run sculpture. Yes. For some reason, the gold ball, whatever chemical it's made with, hits, like, a bottle of chemicals that was in the home run sculpture for some reason, and that sets off fireworks in the dome. Everyone's safe. Everything's cool. Nothing's damaged. But Justin Bour then just, like, ascends to another plane of existence, and I think this is going to happen.
I love it.
This is great. Well, we talked about this with Jessica when she was on a couple weeks ago, which is that if a home run ball hits a light, it should be rigged that every other light explodes. Mm. So it can just be the most epic light home run possible. That's just how it should go.
And we haven't had a home run. I was thinking about this. We have not had, and I don't know if the roof will be open for the Derby.
Right.
And I know for the stadiums that have roofs, like, I know sometimes if the roof's open, the ball carries more, and sometimes, I know it depends. Mm-hmm. But I guess the last one with the roof was, I guess, Arizona?
Oh, yeah.
When Cano won it, and I don't remember if the roof was open for that. But either way, I mean, obviously, you mentioned the home run sculpture. So, is it possible to break it? Because we have the guys in it who can hit the ball hard enough to hit the right spot. But the bigger question is it going to go off for everyone? There's
right.
no way,
that
right?
That is the question.
Or is it just going to be running for 3 hours consecutive?
Oh, what I hope is that it's kind of like, so this is a deep cut. You're sorry. I apologize ahead of time for this.
If I am not going to get it.
So there's a clock in the Czech Republic.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Go. Take us there.
It's an extremely mechanically complex clock, and I can't remember the name of the guy who created it. I want to say it's spelled Huys. That's his last name. And he was actually blinded after he made the clock so that he could never make a clock this complex for anyone ever again. He's like a Czech national hero. And this clock, for every hour, there's this intense, like, mechanical tableau, and it still is there. You can go see it right now. And every hour has all of these unique, different, weird things that happen. Yes, that clock.
This is crazy because it's in Prague, and I've seen this clock in person when I studied abroad 2 years ago.
Yes.
I've seen it, and I just look at it, and I think, or I could just look at my iPhone and see what time it is.
But there are, like, people that come out of it. There are different characters from history and time and space. Yes. What I'm saying is, what I hope is that the entire time that this home run sculpture has existed, they've just been waiting for the home run derby. They're like, one day it's going to be in Miami. And this is when all the secrets in the home run sculpture, like the Prague astronomical clock, will come out. So every time there's a home run, just a new thing is revealed about the sculpture. It, like, triples in size, different figures come out of it,
bigger,
like more dolphins.
Right.
Maybe there's some alligators. I don't know.
Live
anything
animals.
Could happen.
Live
yes.
animals. Right.
Anything could happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
prospective
I love
Marlins
that.
Owner Derek Jeter pops out. Like,
oh,
anything
yes.
could happen. All these, like, mechanical
So, still, if that's true, and if that is in store, still, at what point in the Derby is it, like, the winning home run? Or
well,
that seems like
I feel
the time
like it should be at milestones, right? Because Giancarlo hit 61 home runs last year. That's insane.
It was amazing. I was there. It didn't seem
so
like it was ever going to end.
It was so much fun to watch.
Yes.
So maybe it's, like, four total home runs. Like, when 20 total home runs are reached, like, one part of it pops out. Like, 40 home runs, like, another weird thing happens. All these surprises. Like, the cat that lives in there now, I probably does not live in there. But, like,
I like the thing still does.
You know, comes out and, like, waves to the people. Just every time. So we hit like 100 home runs, that something spectacular happens.
I love it. Depending on how complex it is, like, okay, so say you have the live alligator come out. You have to get it back in for the next milestone.
Right?
And if you have real dolphins jumping, because right now they kind of have these, these figurines going up and down. If you have real dolphins, you're going to have to time it. Again, I don't want to ruin the idea. It just feels logistically like you would save it for the grand finale.
We cannot have logic in
this
discussion.
Forgive me.
We all know what's going to happen. All this is going to be like ready to go off, but there's going to be some meter. There's going to be, you know, like, it's too hot. It's running too hot. Shut it down. Like, we can't shut it down. Like, cut the power. Like, we did cut the power. We don't know how it's running right now.
Right. Then it's just that. That is the other risk, is you can't have it delay the momentum of whoever's hitting. So that's the other. But again, I don't want to. I think it's a great idea, and I really hope they do have something more extravagant. I wouldn't be surprised if they add a few lights at the very least.
Yeah.
A few extra little flares here and there.
You know, it would be great. Pitbull being involved in some way.
He's standing on top. He's up there and he does a verse of a song every time.
He's actually been living in the sculpture this whole time.
So Pitbull's heart is a miniature sculpture. That's how he survived. It's a sculpture running inside of his body.
Yes.
This has gotten so deeply surreal.
Okay, now I cannot wait. I'm not even going to be watching the hitters.
You're
going
to need to report back.
My eyes are just going to be just focused on the home run sculpture for the full 3 hours.
That's great. Are you and Jake going to be in the outfield shagging?
I wish. That is a future dream. We have pitched that many times, and we hope to at one point be in the outfield with the thousands of children trying to dive out of the way of Giancarlo Stanton line drives. So that we do hope. I don't believe that
just
will
like
be happening
mowing
this
down
year.
Kids.
Yes, I don't think that's happening. But look out. It's sometimes. We'll be there.
All right. All right. Well, before we move on, we want to take a second to tell you about the Fantasy 411 podcast. Do you want to win your fantasy league this year? We're all in a fantasy league together. Of the three of us, I am currently doing the best. Ugh. I'm not winning, though. Whether you're playing 10-team head-to-head against your friends or a 20-team expert dynasty format, Fred Zinke and Matthew Leach can give you the edge. Last week, the MLB Fantasy crew discussed strategies for maximizing your talent with every roster spot and players like rookie infielders Franklin Barreto and Ian Happ, who can help you do just that. Before you set your lineup or hit the waiver wire, subscribe to the Fantasy 411 podcast on iTunes today. That's Fantasy 411. You should listen to it. It'll help you do better than me in fantasy, and definitely better than Jordan and Mike.
I could use all the help that I could get, because when I paid all of my salary, all of my payroll to Mike Trout, and he got hurt, it looked good. He was worth it.
I feel like you can never spend too much on Mike Trout. You just got unlucky.
No. That's the thing. It was worth it, and I commit to I do not, no regrets. No regrets.
That's good.
But no regrets. Please come back soon, Mike. I really need some good players.
All right, moving along. Let's talk about food. Everyone likes to talk about food, especially here on the Cut Forecast. So on Saturday's game against the Marlins, Brewer shortstop Orlando Arcia saw JT Riddle hit a ball into the seats. He couldn't make the play, so he kind of just watched it with the fans, noticed a fan was distracted, and took a bite of that fan's ice cream out of his ice cream helmet. He said, "I try to do my best out there the way fans can enjoy it as much as I can, and I'm just trying to have fun." That seems fun.
I love it. I saw Orlando Arcia last year in AAA, and he just seemed like an absolute joy of a person, let alone a fantastic baseball player. And we've seen the, you know, take the food from the fan gimmick before, but it certainly never gets old. And when you think about, I think the first one that I remember was Prince
Fielder with the nachos.
Prince did it with the nachos like 4 or 5 years ago, and I think Miggy's obviously done it a couple times.
Mattingly did it in the 90s, and supposedly there's a guy out there who's like, "I was the kid who he ate my popcorn."
Oh, it's too bad there's no gif of that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Is that really? Is that?
There is a gif. Actually, you can see the gif on MLB.com/cutforward.
You have the Mattingly one?
The gif of the Mattingly one.
Oh, my God. See, this is then this is my fault. I got to read Cut 4. I got it. Well, apparently I missed the oral history of people, players eating fans' food. But I love it. I mean, I'm into RCA. The best part is how the fans react, because some guys play it off. Like when we saw Miggy touch the guy's beard.
Yeah, that guy seemed so chill about it.
He was all in. He played it off perfectly. But this guy, I mean, when will a fan really get mad Because, I mean,
that's what I wonder.
Also, let's be real. This is expensive.
Well, this is also the ice cream
costs a lot.
Because, like, popcorn, fine. You put your hand in there. Nachos, fine. You're eating with your hand. It was an ice cream helmet. He was eating with a spoon, and he just used the guy's spoon. So.
This one was gross, okay? I am against it. He doesn't say please. He doesn't even really smile afterwards. And I'm sorry, but ice cream is essentially like a sloppy liquid. It's grosser than
exactly
a solid. It's grosser than water. It somehow exists as a food that is the very grossest thing a human can put in their body.
Oh, my God. Well, I forgot that Claire hates ice cream, even though his new wife loves ice cream.
And this is the one food I won't even share with my wife.
That's good. Wow. That you'll really go great lengths to please her.
Now, there is one part of this gift, though, that I feel like everybody's missing because they're focused on the ice cream. If you look where the ball is bouncing, there's a little kid who's, like, standing. He's, like, still with his glove in the air. The ball, like, bounces in front of him, bounces back behind him, bounces to the side, and then bounces away. Had he just, like, moved at any time, he probably catches this ball. Instead, it just, like, bounces around him like a pinball. It's amazing. It's very adorable.
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the best part of any of these plays in the stands is watching the fans kind of flail around and not ever actually get the ball perfectly. The other thing about just, I mean, you have a fair point. It's a little gross. I would like to see maybe a player like Arcia or certainly Miggy, I mean, just keep a spoon in your back pocket. Like,
you
kind of scout it out at the beginning of the game. Like, all right, I see the guy in the front row. Like, he's got some nachos, right? Like, that you can just grab your fingers. But if you see the ice cream, like, you don't want to take the guy's spoon because eventually you're going to run into a super germaphobe also.
Right.
Because, of course, the fan's going to laugh for the camera, but then he's going to be like, actually, Orlando Arcia used my spoon. Sorry, like, I know you're great at Orlando Arcia, but I don't know you.
I need a new spoon.
I'm just not going to trust him. What
if he sets it down, he then, you know, wraps it in, like, plastic wrap, puts it on eBay. Would you buy the plastic spoon that's been in Orlando Arcia's mouth and the melted ice cream? How much would you buy that for on eBay?
Oh, man. Well, that's... Whew. That is that. First of all, is that fitting in the title on eBay? That's like a very specific. Also in all caps.
You would buy that. I feel like you are the audience for someone who would buy that. You'd be like, maybe I can clone him from the DNA left on this spoon.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would pay. It really comes down to, like, how well it's protected. So, like, I can be sure that the DNA sample hasn't been contaminated, but also if the ice cream's not gonna, like, spill in the box and just kind of soggy box. So if it was in, like, a glass case, you know, we wore plastic gloves, everything, I would pay $475.
Okay.
Slight under.
Brewers fan. Brewers. I hope you were listening to this. Claire will give you $475
yes, I hope you kept that spoon.
For this souvenir.
Yeah, I hope
yes.
you kept that spoon. Yeah, I mean, no, that's one of those things where it's like, you know, so-and-so, my favorite musician, touched my hand. I'm never going to wash his hand. Like, I'm never going to wash this ice cream helmet that's full of half ice cream.
Who would it be? Who would it be? Which baseball player would you be okay with using your spoon?
Oh, man.
Who would you be like, you know what? Fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Please.
It's not gross. It's fine.
It's not. Yeah. Most. Oh, man. Most. I think
you don't care. You'd be okay with any baseball player.
Honestly, it's really who am I not okay
with? Oh, wow.
That is a better question, which we probably won't have a full discussion on. Also, just the last thing is now as I'm looking at this Mattingly gift, which is wonderful, and the side-by-side, and the other great thing about plays like this is it always involves the fan turning around and noticing that the baseball player is in their face taking their food or touching their beer or whatever because they're looking at the foul ball, and it's always I can only imagine what that feeling is like, turning around and seeing, you know, whoever right in your face. So I love that.
Claire, who would it have to be for you where you were like, this isn't gross? Like, if for some reason you were like eating cereal at a ball game because you don't like ice cream, I don't know, you're just like eating cereal out of a helmet or a taco bowl or whatever, would it have to be like Craig Counsell delivers a lineup card and then just like walks past you and takes a bite of your cereal? Like, what would it have to be?
I mean, cereal's delicious, so let's back off on that.
I wish they did have cereal.
No, they should have cereal ball games. That's just like a separate thing that we can all address later, but yes, cereal should be in ball games.
My thing is, I'm not a germaphobe. My problem isn't the sharing of the spoon, it's with the ice cream. Ice cream is like, I won't share ice cream. I also won't share, and I think this is the gross thing, fun dip. This is ice cream is the fun dip of food.
Fun dip? Fun dip should not be shared.
Who shares
fun dip? But ice cream is just a wet bowl of fun dip, okay?
Oh, disagree.
I feel like if you share fun dip, you're just asking to get cold sores. Yeah, like, this is disgusting.
Yeah. That might be the number one do not ever share consumable food item.
No.
Oh, man. That's
That is a very bad ice cream take, Claire, and you are wrong. And on that note that you are wrong, we're going to move on to a sort of food-related topic. So earlier today, Claire, you wrote a post about how the Rochester Red Wings, the Twins AAA affiliate, will be soon called the Rochester Plates on August 10th in honor of Rochester's most illustrious culinary
creation.
Yes. The garbage plate. That's going to be fun. We can talk about former Cut 4 writer Ben Cosmo is a Rochester native and loves garbage plates. You also said you went to a baseball game to celebrate your wedding. You went to see the Portland Sea Dogs, and there was relatedly the trash monster or the garbage monster?
Yeah, so I'm
a lot
watching
to
the game.
Explain
a lot
here.
Of garbage.
Yeah,
there's a lot of garbage.
Yes.
You both go to a lot of minor league games.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've seen a lot of things that do and do not have garbage in the title.
Yes.
So let's discuss. What are some of the stranger things you've seen? Claire, tell us what these garbage things are.
Okay, so this is amazing. So we're at the July 4th Portland Sea Dogs game, and the stadium's gorgeous. They have the main monster, which is like a replica green monster. There's a giant LL Bean boot on top of the right field like wall. And we're all packed in there because everyone's there. Also, not only is this the game for the night, there's fireworks. It's July 4th. So it is packed. So you know, there's no room between us. We're in general admission. And all of a sudden, this like weird little creature that looks like the little one-eyed monster from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. He walks up, and everyone starts freaking out and getting out of their seats and running to him. And
him, not away from him.
Towards the monster.
So they're running to him, and I'm like, what is going on? And this guy in front of me, who I had been talking to a little bit earlier, is like, you idiot, that's the garbage monster?
You idiot.
And he's got this, like, big mouth, and everyone is running up there, hurling their trash into his mouth.
Wow.
And I can only think the poor person inside of there.
The thing. How is that? Also, was it like, how tall was said garbage monster? Because is this like a small child that's being subjected?
Well, you're speculating that there's some kind of like 19th century child labor situation.
But
not even that.
But even if it's like a high school intern, like this is a pretty rough job. Because there has to be some sort of separation. But it couldn't be that much because there has to be space for the person inside the monster to see. So it's
a bit rotund, and the opening for the trash can is like the bottom portion of the mouth. The thing is, the game was so full. I think for most games, because there's about 8,000 people there. I don't have Portland's numbers up, but I have to imagine that's probably about double what just like an average game is, unless, you know, Portland happens to be the most like beloved minor league team, and I don't know. But the garbage was overflowing as it like backed away because there were so many people there.
So the monster actually ran away from the people.
Yes, we had a classic Frankenstein situation. He came for garbage and left screaming in fear from the townspeople.
Sorry, quick question on the aesthetics of the trash monster, because I have a Google image search up right now. Was the trash monster wearing pants? I know that's a weird question. But
wow, this is really weird. It has kind of like jorts, but maybe they're just full pants.
I
and a belt, like a big like leprechaun style belt.
Or like WWE style.
What is this? I never saw the legs because it was surrounded by trash
people.
Yeah, who wanted to dispose of their trash.
But people love the garbage monster.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
he's beloved.
Well, in case I sound super crazy again, just Google image trash monster Portland Sea Dogs, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So that is great, and I have been to Portland before, and they do I think have some pretty high attendance. I don't know what the general popularity is for the trash monster in the town. I don't know. I mean, clearly the guy who said you were an idiot, like, come on, man. Like, kind of, show some respect. Like that. So that part I don't know. But that is up there. That is very, very strange. And I wish I don't remember seeing the trash monster when I was there.
Where does it rank among things that you've seen? You've been to so many stadiums.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's there's so many different categories of weird minor league things that you see. This is like in the mascot, I guess mascot. I mean, the Sea Dogs are not the Portland Trash Monsters. I'd still put this under the mascot category. The other category of weird minor league things is obviously the promos, like the between innings promos. So the most obvious example is the beloved Superstars, who I've seen many times. Those are always fun. The two promos that I definitely remember are. One of them is very famous, and I'm sure it's been on Cut 4 before, which is the monkey riding the dog.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That I've seen live, and is truly astonishing. It's like, oh, how cool could this be? And then it's like, wow, that is crazy.
It's actually really cool.
Yes. And then the other thing I've seen, which was a post-game thing, was the human cannonball.
What?
Which was truly, truly. We saw that on our road trip last summer, which is just this dude who's, I guess, been doing this for years and years, where he just gets, they kind of set up the cannon like behind second base and they launch him towards home plate. And yeah,
this sounds really unsafe.
Oh my God. It's seriously like, when you watch it, like everyone's like both like, they don't want to look away. Like everyone stays around. You want to see the human cannonball, but there is this feeling of like everyone's kind of just looking,
wincing,
covering their eyes. And it's pretty crazy. So yeah, you can find video of that pretty easily.
Would you do it?
Oh, no, certainly not.
You wouldn't, Claire? Would you be a human cannonball?
For the clicks, of course. Oh,
yeah. For the RTs? Do it for the RTs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually the way to live your life, I would say. That's certainly how we've gone about our business. Do it for the RTs.
Everyone wants to go viral here. Well, you know, speaking of the RTs, it's that time of the Cup Forecast to sum up the entire episode in 140 characters in a tweet. Goodness. Now that I am in charge, I get to go last. How exciting for me. I feel like I should make you flip a coin because I don't want to make anyone go first.
Well, I know Claire was not on the last time I was on, but I do feel like I nominated myself first last time. So Claire, I'm putting you on the spot. If you can give us the tweet recap of this.
Your
this
tweets are always incredible,
podcast.
Claire.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Take my wife, please. And put her in the trash monster costume because she deserves the greatest of honors.
Oh, man.
The shortest marriage ever. Certificate.
Oh, come on. As we all saw, people love the trash monster.
Yes.
I want my wife to experience the love of an entire town.
It's true.
While wearing jorts and accepting refuse.
I love it. All right, I will go now.
That was pretty good.
I will say, all eyes on the Miami Dinger Machine. Mm-hmm. Justin Bour, make us proud.
Oh, that's good.
And I can't wait. I leave for Miami in a few days. I'm very excited.
We're so excited for you.
Yes.
All right, here's my tweet.
All right.
Home run derby, keep an eye out for people who want to eat your ice cream. And the trash monster emerging from the home run sculpture.
Oh, the trash monster.
Those are the tweets.
Miami appearance.
The trash monster just needs to be an international superstar.
Oh,
that's really
my
how
goodness.
I feel.
I mean, the jorts alone.
Very stylish jorts.
Yes, yes. Claire, seriously, please. If you did not see the jorts, you need to look up the trash monster jorts.
Oh, I'm looking at the jorts right now. It really ties the outfit together.
He already ordered his own pair, probably, of the jorts.
All right. I'm wearing jorts right now. It's summer, so.
So, gotta break them out.
Married life. Married life.
Everyone, that was a Cup Forecast, newly hosted by myself, Jeff McNecko, and Jordan Schusterman, Team 10, and Claire, Team 18, Michael Claire, Team 18. I don't even know how to explain that, but that's what it is. Remember, this is a podcast, so if you liked it, you can subscribe to it on iTunes. Tell all your friends about it. You can rate and review it. We would love it if you did that. Leave a 5-star review or a 1-star review, whatever in between, depending on how you feel. And just tell us something about yourself in the review. You don't even have to write about the Cup 4 guest.
Tell us your favorite thing about the Trash Monster.
Yes, please tell
us something. 5 stars plus Trash Monster review.
That is the most key thing that you could possibly tell us. That was the Cup 4 cast. We are so excited that you are listening, and we will talk to you next week.